So it's a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Sachs. I just wanted to start by asking you what inspired you to write the book about hallucinations.
Well, I've been interested in hallucinations for a long time, had a few myself. I have written a little about them in other books, but I wanted to bring everything together in one book, the more so as in the last 10 years it's been possible to monitor the activity of the brain as one is having particular sorts of hallucinations. So if people are hallucinating faces, you can pick up activity in a part of the brain normally used for recognising faces.
I just wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about the opening chapter where you talk about Rosalie, who you visited in a nursing home, and she was hallucinating figures in exotic Eastern dress. Maybe you'd tell us a bit about the syndrome that you identified.
Rosalie was in a nursing home, a very alert woman of 90 who had suddenly started behaving strangely and looking around her at invisible things, and the staff wondered if she was going mad or senile or had had a stroke or was toxic from some medication. So they asked me in to see her, and she said that she'd been blind, that she hadn't seen anything for 5 years, but now she was seeing things. And I said, what sort of things? And as you mentioned, she described people, usually numbers of people, often uniformly dressed, in fact in an exotic Middle Eastern dress, and marching in rows. She saw animals, she saw a snowfall, she saw children, she saw little elf-like people a few inches high, and she said she'd never experienced anything like this in her whole life before. I said, is it like a dream? And she said, no, it's more like a film or being at the theatre, perhaps with film clips which last a minute or two and are then replaced by another clip. And she also wondered what was going on. I couldn't find anything medically amiss with her, but I took a guess at what was going on. I said that people who lose their vision are apt to get hallucinations, that this had been described in the middle of the 18th century by a man called Charles Bonnet and was sometimes called Charles Bonnet syndrome, and that it was benign. It didn't mean that anything awful was coming, and she might have hallucinations for a few days and then they'd go away, perhaps come back again. And so she was very reassured to be told that it was okay to have these hallucinations. She was tickled that they had a name. She said, tell the nurses that I have Charles Bonnet syndrome. And she said, who was Charles Bonnet? Did he have them himself? And I told her.
So Rosalie was particularly disturbed by images of deformed faces, wasn't she? And you've said that's quite common with Charles Bonnet-type hallucinations. Why is that?
It's quite common with all sorts of hallucinations, including the hallucinations which a majority of people can have sometimes as they lie in bed with eyes closed, waiting to sleep, but not yet asleep. There seem particular parts of the brain which are concerned with the mouth and the eyes, and if those are also being stimulated automatically, then one tends to get deformities.
And you've talked about how, you know, part of your reason for writing the book was to reassure people, because people that are hallucinating, they don't want to talk about it because they're worried people think they're going mad.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a difference really between those kind of psychotic hallucinations and the hallucinations that you describe in the book?
Yes, I've sort of deliberately omitted anything more than a brief reference to the hallucinations of schizophrenic people, because I think they tend to be different. They're often more auditory, they often seem to be strongly addressed to the person, whereas the sort of hallucinations Rosalie had were had nothing to do with her mood and her thinking. She couldn't influence them, she couldn't interact with them. And in my book, on the whole, I've dealt with other sorts of hallucinations, which usually go with brain conditions or eye conditions or sometimes very traumatic or sad events which have happened, of which perhaps the commonest are bereavement hallucinations.
I was going to ask you, actually, about the bereavement hallucinations, and you mentioned phantom limbs as part of that. So I was interested just to know how those temporal lobe seizures are different from, the Charles Bonnet-type hallucinations.
Well, in temporal lobe hallucinations are more dreamlike. There may be elaborate scenes which unfold and events of which one is part. In one particular sort of temporal lobe hallucination, there may be a strong mystical or religious feeling, which may then be given an interpretation or a narrative by the person which goes with their culture, so that people may feel that they are seeing Jesus or angels, and sometimes they are being advised one way or another. Probably this happened with Joan of Arc, who by all accounts was a very sane, intelligent, modest young woman who was first deeply puzzled by these visions and voices, which were always to one side, then interpreted them or came to believe that they had a message to sort of get an army and march on Orléans.
And I was keen also to ask you about, in the book you return to the patients that you talked about in Awakenings, and the discovery when once you treated them with L-DOPA and you got to know them a bit, how you then discovered that they'd in fact been hallucinating, but it wasn't actually a side effect of the drug, was it?
Well, there were often hallucinations which were side effects of L-DOPA, but with these particular patients, they later divulged that some of them had had hallucinations for years, often of a rather pleasant and sociable sort. These were people who had been put away and had been isolated and sort of out of the world, and in a way they hallucinated a virtual reality to keep sane.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I have an impertinent question for you about your own hallucinations.
Well, I asked for it because I mentioned some of them.
Would you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, in the 1960s, I took all sorts of hallucinogenic drugs out of curiosity, out of maybe a hunger for some unusual states of mind and states of pleasure. It wasn't a sociable activity with me. I would always take them by myself and only at weekends. But I'd read Aldous Huxley's book about the doors of perception and heaven and hell, and I wanted an experience or two myself. Although one of the strangest ones was with a drug not usually used for hallucinating but known to produce delirium, in which I had only auditory hallucinations, and I imagined that friends had arrived and I was talking to them through a swing door, asking them what they wanted for breakfast, and when I came out with their breakfast there was no one there, and I was very shocked at that. In that same incident I also it seemed to me that I was addressed by a spider which said hello. And it didn't occur to me that there was anything abnormal or strange. I thought of Alice and the White Rabbit, so I said, hello yourself. And then the two of us, the spider had a voice very similar to that of Bertrand Russell, whom I'd heard on the radio. And in fact, it was a rather technical conversation with the spider about analytical philosophy. My drug taking was all between the ages of really of 30 and 33. The final experience inspired me to write my first book and got me into writing, and after that I never took drugs again.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Sachs.
Pleasure to talk to you.
I hope you enjoy your trip to Warwick.
I look forward to it.